no wonder what.
In reality, there wasn't much that was same old about her life, other than the habit of thinking there was. By any objective measure, and she could see objectivity just out of reach, she was living adventurously. She had recently moved into a new house, in the company of a new friend, in a new village. For the move, she had bought herself new clothes, new sunglasses, a new bag, new nail polish. Even her slippers were new. The house, though new to her, was not new to itself. It felt skulkingly ecclesiastical, which Aelin had reasons of her own to dislike, as though a disreputable abbe or persecuted priest, a pastor too austere for his congregation or a padre too fleshly for his, had gone to ground there and finally forgotten what he was hiding from. It had stood stonily in its own damp, in a dripping valley, smelling of wild garlic and wet gorse, for centuries. Neither the light of hope nor the light of disillusionment made it through its small, low windows so deep into the valley. It deferred expectation, was the best you could say of it. Whoever had lived here before her, they had been like the vegetation, neither happy nor unhappy. But though she shrank from its associations, it was still an improvement on the square slab of speckled concrete she had latterly grown up in, with its view that was no view of a silted estuary, the dull northern tide trickling in from nowhere on the way to nowhere, and the company of her frayed-tempered parents who weren't really her parents at all. And she had met a new man, the one who had insulted her feet. True, he was no sylvan god, and would not have put her feet to his lips, even if he had been, but that was no consolation for her having probably lost him. He'd had, promise. As for the rest, including the new friend, who was much older than her, and more a sort of guardian, funny the way she attracted guardians, they struck her as incidentals, a rearrangement of the furniture, that was all. In every other regard, she was still herself. That was what was cruel about superficial change. It exposed what could never change. Better to have stayed where she was and waited. As long as you're waiting, you can't be disappointed. I was all right when I was in suspense, she thought. But that wasn't true either. She had never been all right. Her heart periodically fluttered. Arrhythmia, the doctor called it.
Nothing to worry about,
he said when the tests came back. She laughed. Of course it was nothing to worry about. Life was nothing to worry about. In the place she had come from, people said that your heart fluttered when someone you loved had died. What if you don't love anybody? She had asked her adoptive mother.
Then it's the anniversary of the death of someone you loved in a previous life,
the older woman had answered. As though she wasn't morbid enough on her own account without having to hear nonsense like that. She didn't know who her actual mother and father were, and remembered little about her life before her faux parents picked her out from the orphanage, like an orange. Except for how unlike the way she thought a little girl was supposed to be, she felt. Today, whatever she could or couldn't remember, she seemed older to herself than her 25 years. What about 2,500? What about 25,000?
Don't exaggerate, Aelin,
people had always told her. 25,000 years? But it wasn't she who exaggerated. It was they who reduced. Her head was like an echo chamber. If she concentrated long and hard enough, she sometimes thought she would hear the great ice splitting and the first woolly mammoths come lolloping down from Central Asia. Perhaps everybody, even the abridgers and condensers, could do the same, but were embarrassed to talk about it. Unless infancy in the company of real parents had filled their minds with more immediate and, yes, trivial sensations. Our birth is but a sleep and a forgetting. Who said that?